What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Ohio State Recruiting Podcast. The new name, the Letterman Lounge Recruiting Podcast. The message board is called the Letterman Lounge. We might as well just call the recruiting show the Letterman Lounge, because that's really what goes on the message board, is the recruiting chatter. Andrew Ellis, Matt Parker, myself, Spencer Holbrook. We're not here to talk about Ohio football, even though we could, because we're all three Bobcats, even though I said Andrew wasn't a Bobcat last time. I don't know why I said that. But let's talk Ohio State recruiting, and let's talk commitments, boys. How are you doing?
I'm good. Nice to be here.
Yep, doing great.
Wow, okay. So now that that's out of the way, the pleasantries. Two commitments since we last met on this wonderful show. Offensive tackle Miles Walker, three-star guy with five-star potential. And Jason Moore, who's a top 50 prospect. I think that kind of speaks for itself. And the fact that he's from DeMatha Catholic kind of brings back some, flashbacks for Ohio State fans as far as Chase Young and that recruitment. So the bigger deal for Ohio State, I didn't tell you I was going to ask you guys this. Matt, you go first. The bigger deal for Ohio State, Miles Walker or Jason Moore?
You know, this is hot takey. I'm not going for the hot take, but I think on paper it's Jason Moore. I think in the long run, it's Miles Walker, and here's why. Ohio State has been needing a pure offensive tackle in this 23 cycle. We keep hearing stuff about Olas Olinen or maybe someone else, or one of the three commits that they have right now potentially playing tackle as it is, but they're interior guys. But to have a pure offensive tackle that has a lot of upside, I think that was the bigger need, considering how crowded the defensive line room can get at Ohio State from time to time. So that's kind of my answer there.
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue with that when you're talking just about positional need in general. But when you're talking about just like player caliber, I would say Jason Moore was probably the bigger get. He could be the crown jewel of just about any defensive line class across the country. Whereas with Miles Walker, you probably don't want to finish the class with him as your top tackle. So both really big wins, but getting a top 50 guy in Jason Moore is a very big deal for Larry Johnson.
And going back into the DMV and getting a top 50 guy, something that Ohio State, I don't want to say they've struggled with the top guys in the DMV the last few years, but it certainly hasn't been as easy as it was there for a while, just to go in there, and get the Chase Young types, to get Dwayne Haskins out of there. I know they got Bryson Shaw, but he wasn't as big of a name. To go in there and get a top 50 prospect out of the map, I think it's a pretty big deal for Larry Johnson and the Buckeyes. I'm going to say I know that Miles Walker has a ton of upside, and I think he can start for Ohio State at some point during his career. I'm going to say Jason Moore is the bigger deal, because like you said, Andrew, like he could be the headliner. And if Ohio State misses on Mateo Iagalelei, or if they miss on, like a John Walker, like Jason Moore has the potential to play inside and outside. He has the body size where he could play either one if you need him to. He could play on the inside with a pass rush setting. So like, I think this one's a really big deal. And if you do miss on some of those other top targets, you've still got a top 50 guy, not really to fall back on, but to headline that class, and you still feel really good about it. With Miles Walker, it's a really big deal to land him, because Ohio State thinks he can be a really good player. But it's still just such a big need to get another tackle in this class. And so that's where I think Jason Moore is the bigger deal. But to have both of those guys in the class, and really to get to the number one class in the country now, back to that territory, which I look at the board and I look who's still being considered by different schools, I'm not sure if Notre Dame's going to be able to get much more or get many more points ahead to retake that spot. So I think you're going to see Ohio State stay there for a little while. Then maybe Georgia, Alabama, the LSUs of the world, those schools start to creep up there and challenge for that. Texas A&M, maybe even Texas in this cycle. You might see them start to challenge for it, but I think Ohio State has pulled ahead of Notre Dame, and I don't know if Ohio State will really look back from that anytime soon. So I do think Jason Moore was a bigger deal, but I understand the argument both ways. Thoughts on Ohio State becoming the number one class in the country? Andrew, you can lead this one.
I think for Notre Dame to have a chance to surpass Ohio State, or we know Alabama and Georgia is going to be up there too, but I think for Notre Dame, that entirely hinged on them landing Dante Moore. So with him going to Oregon, I really wouldn't consider Notre Dame a threat for that top spot anymore. I think when it all comes down to it, it's going to be Ohio State. It's going to be Georgia, Alabama, maybe another SEC school. But there's still plenty of big fish out there for Ryan Day, and they definitely have a chance to hold on to that spot.
And then just piggybacking off of that, Ohio State, with a commitment from Jason Moore on Sunday, now has 18 in the class, if I'm not mistaken, and they're looking to get more. Quite honestly, I'm sure Ohio State is expecting to get more. No pun intended there. But, you know, Ohio State isn't going to be content being number one in July. You know, they still have some guys to go after. They're still expecting some answers. And then if those answers don't go their way, they're going to have contingencies that would headline, you know, other schools. That's one of the advantages to being one of the top three programs in the country, is that, you know, you have options, and Ohio State definitely still remains as a favorite to have the number one class when it's all said and done. But they're not going to be satisfied having the number one class just in July.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, and a good thing that we can, you know, maybe go on to, as you say, that the Ohio State brand is so strong that they can come in and, you know, get kind of who they want. I think that leads me to a discussion maybe about Austin Novosad, the quarterback from Texas, who is from Dripping Springs, a four-star, one of the top quarterbacks in the country, a Baylor commit, holds an offer from Texas A&M. Both of his parents went there, now holds an offer from Notre Dame. This seems to be what we thought was a three-team quarterback race. Notre Dame's going to try to sneak in there. I don't know about you guys. I can't really see Notre Dame getting fully into that upper tier of contenders, especially when Texas A&M is just there. And if he really wants to, he can go where his parents went. He grew up a Texas A&M fan. Matt, you're going to write about him on the site for Tuesday, maybe early after, or for Wednesday early afternoon. We're recording this Tuesday night. Matt, your thoughts on Austin Novosad and just the direction that recruitment's heading, because it seems like it's going in an interesting direction, and he seems to be pretty torn on what's going on.
Yeah, you know, we at Letterman Row, we spoke with him Tuesday afternoon, and you know, Spencer, if you disagree, chime in. But speaking with him, you could tell just how difficult this process has been for him. You know, he wants to make sure that, you know, all of the I's are dotted and all of the T's are crossed in his recruitment process, and making sure that everything from, you know, the depth chart to playing projections to, you know, his future off the field. You know, this is why, and I haven't had much of a chance to say this yet, but that's why this recruiting process can be so difficult for a lot of, you know, a lot of kids. And this is no exception in the most important position in football on the biggest stage, especially with a dire need, specifically talking about Ohio State, their need for a quarterback in this class. So I'm sure Austin Novosad, unfortunately, is feeling some exterior pressure to kind of figure things out. And his sentiments and what we talked with him today, and what, you know, we'll be writing about for the site today, it reflects that.
Yeah.
Andrew, thoughts?
I feel like if you're Baylor right now, and I think he very well may still end up, you know, sticking with Baylor, but it's been a few weeks, and if you're the Baylor coaching staff, you had to have hoped that he would have maybe shut things down by now. Instead, now you've got Notre Dame in the picture, as well as, of course, Ohio State and Texas A&M. But I'm just wondering if he's like maybe holding off until late July after the dead period ends. Maybe he wants to take another visit, whether it's to Notre Dame, or I know he's been to Texas A&M, but I don't believe that was an official. So I think the biggest thing now is, does he shut things down here in the next couple weeks? Does he decommit? Or does he wait until that last weekend this month and make another visit once the dead period ends?
Yeah, and if he does make those visits, you do have to wonder where that would be. This is a recruitment that is a late blooming recruitment. It's one that I think Baylor thought was all but locked up, and now the Bears are absolutely fighting for their lives, trying to you know, keep a hold of him. And Ohio State's not going to back down from a challenge, especially against Baylor, especially against Notre Dame. Ohio State's won battles against Notre Dame for the last century. So Ohio State's not just going to, you know, fold up and decide to move on to another quarterback prospect. I think they're signaling, especially as Brock Glenn trends towards Florida State, even away from Auburn, and as, you know, the options kind of dwindle down. I know Chris Parson now just decommitted from Florida State. You wonder if that's going to happen, but the tea leaves start to show maybe a Mississippi State lean there before Ohio State can get involved. The Buckeyes quarterback options are few and far between right now, and I think that's why Austin Novosad is target number one. He will be until he makes a decision. And even when he decides to shut it down, especially if he sticks with Baylor, I don't think Ohio State's just going to walk away from this and decide, well, we might as well go find somebody else. I think they're going to continue to push because Ryan Day obviously sees something that he likes. He saw something when Novosad visited, and now he's continuing to pursue him. And Corey Dennis and Ryan Day aren't just going to give up on that. Do you guys have an idea of – let's say Austin Novosad decides to stick with Baylor or Texas A&M or Notre Dame. Is this starting to look like an Austin Novosad or portal year for Ohio State?
I don't really think so. Like, I feel like they want a 2023 quarterback. And if Novosad sticks with Baylor and Brock Glenn commits to Florida State or whatever, I think they're just going to continue evaluating their options. And maybe they find some high-end three-star type of kid later into the fall, somebody that blows up, that kind of thing. Maybe they do send an offer to that Parson kid that just decommitted from Florida State, but he's not like the prototype for Ryan Day. You know, he's barely 6 foot. But I think they're just going to kind of expand their search here if they do miss out on Novosad, but he's clearly the priority right now.
I would agree with that for sure. If things don't go, you know, Ryan Day and Ohio State's way, they definitely would much rather have someone in the class rather than surging through the portal and having to deal with the nightmare that is the portal sometimes.
Yeah. And so now it's just kind of a sit back and wait mode for Ohio State as Austin Novosad, you know, dives into his options and really tries to figure out what he's going to do with his recruitment. I guess that's where we move on to another guy who's trying to figure out what he's going to do with his recruitment. I know I'm getting great with these segues. As we move along, Letterman Lounge, yeah, sorry, new name. Tight end Jelani Thurman, a four-star tight end, is going to make a decision this weekend. Guys, this is starting to become what appears to be an Ohio State, Michigan State, maybe Auburn recruitment. And at one point I thought that maybe Ohio State was going to be content with one tight end in 23 just because every year we seem to hear the two tight end talk and it never happens. But the steam is starting to be real for the Buckeyes, maybe to even land Jelani Thurman, if not be second, just behind Michigan State in this battle. As of Tuesday night, where do each of you stand on Jelani Thurman and his decision that is coming up this weekend?
Go ahead, Matt.
As far as, you know, just looking at some of the numbers that I have in front of me, the On3 recruiting prediction machine has Auburn as the favorite at 26.1% to land the four-star from Fairburn, Georgia. And you have to wonder, we haven't heard a whole lot of noise about him coming from Ohio State in these last couple of weeks. Spencer, you touched upon the fact that kind of feels like Ohio State, you know, if they didn't get another tight end, you know, they're not going to go out and find a tight end just so they can say they have two. They won't do that for any player, let alone, you know, the tight end board. But as things kind of crawl to the finish line here, you know, for all of the folks that really like to zoom in and analyze every single graphic that, you know, the kids post on Twitter, there did seem to be a few more Ohio State details in his graphic that he posted over the weekend. So whatever that means, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure someone knows the answer, but the way things are trending, if Ohio State gets it, that'd be great for Ohio State. But if they don't, I don't think they're going to be beat up about it.
Andrew, before you start, I think we should recognize that Matt is officially a Ohio State recruiting reporter because he's studied a graphic and seen and read the graphic tea leaves. It is a staple of modern recruiting. Go ahead. What are your thoughts on Jelani Thurman, Andrew?
I guess, first of all, it's just crazy to think that there's a very good tight end from the state of Georgia who it seems like his recruitment is coming down to Michigan State and Ohio State. I know the Auburn side doesn't seem very confident from what I've heard. So I feel like he's going to end up in the Big Ten. If I had to make a prediction right now, I would say he picks Ohio State this weekend. It does, Spencer, you mentioned it. It seems like every class we say, is this the class where they take two tight ends? And it never really seems to be. I think maybe Luke Farrell and Jake Hausman back in 2016 might have been the last time that ended up happening. But, you know, I mean, if I know he's a priority for Kevin Wilson, and if they're able to seal the deal here in the next few days and pick him up, that would be a underrated win for Ohio State. I think the value in tight end is kind of not what other positions are, but that still would be a big win for Ohio State.
I guess we can move on then as we roll along here to another prospect who is picking this weekend. We do not expect Troy Bowles to pick Ohio State. We do not think that is much of a surprise, as this recruitment has started to tilt toward Athens, Georgia, and away from Columbus, Ohio. Not really, like I said, a surprise here that we don't expect Troy Bowles. I mean, it could happen, and I think Ohio State is not going to give up until that ink is dry. But I do think Troy Bowles is going to be on the outside looking in. Well, I guess, you know, on the inside of the Georgia class, not the inside of Ohio State's class. But I don't think that's as big of a loss maybe as it might seem. I know that it's probably with some scarlet-colored glasses, but when you look at the linebacker board at Ohio State, they're not going to really sweat over losing a top 50 guy when they're going to be able to get a top 100 guy that they really like, maybe, if, you know, the Tackett Curtis recruitment goes their way, if the Arvo Reese recruitment goes their way. And so I'm not really sure that it's much of a sweat for Ohio State to lose Troy Bowles. I know he's a great player. I know Ohio State loved him, and they would love to have him in the class. But to lose a recruitment, which I do think they will lose, to Georgia is not going to be I'm not going to say it's not going to be a big deal, but I don't think that it's something that Ohio State needs to truly worry about until a couple other recruitments are settled. Your thoughts on that, Andrew, to begin?
Well, first of all, Troy Bowles is a hell of a player. I think Georgia is going to be the pick too, but I agree that missing out on him is not the end of the world, especially with the safety heavy defense that Jim Knowles runs and some of the linebackers they brought in of late with CJ Hicks and, you know, maybe Sonny Styles ends up at linebacker as well. We'll see about that. But it's just going to come down to Tackett Curtis and Arvell Reese for Ohio State. And they have to get, if they can get both of those guys, that'd be one heck of a linebacker class, but you really can't fault a linebacker for one who play in Athens these days.
And to just, you know, to go off of that, you know, like Andrew said, Troy Bowles is one fantastic player. And, you know, I'm sure we all wish him success no matter where he goes. As far as it goes for Jim Knowles and his defense and Ohio State, like I mentioned earlier in the show, Ohio State has options. So they're not going to, you know, bank on just one person committing. And if push comes to shove and it doesn't go their way, then, you know, they don't have their head in the sand. They say, okay, you know what, we'll still keep in touch, but we have other options. And those other options are Tackett Curtis and Arvell Reese. If you're Ohio State, you have to feel very confident with your relationship with Arvell Reese, in-state prospect from Glenville. And then the relationship that Knowles and Curtis have carried over from Stillwater to Columbus. So that's, you know, that's something that's been maintained in a time of transition, and Ohio State has to feel good about both of those potential commits.
And when you look at this class, guys, it kind of seems like the defensive philosophy is shifting and the recruiting philosophy is shifting with it. You're looking at four cornerbacks and potentially four safeties, and only two linebackers in the class potentially after, you know, in 2021, only taking one linebacker, take two in 2022, and then you only take one or two in 2023. You're seeing an entire different philosophy of recruiting at Ohio State compared to what we've ever seen before. And that might be one of the most fascinating developments here is if you only get Arvell Reese and Tackett Curtis, that's a pretty good linebacker haul for a team wanting to run a 4-2-5. But those are two pretty versatile linebackers. There's not really a true middle linebacker in there. And I think that's exactly what Ohio State wants. I don't think Ohio State's in any hurry to start adding a bunch of linebackers to this class when they know that safeties can play linebacker, linebackers can play safety, defensive ends can play linebacker. I mean, you're looking at almost an even more positional approach than we used to talk about in the last couple cycles, Andrew. We've talked about the positionless recruiting for Ohio State for a long time, and it's starting to become even more so with that. And when you look at taking more safeties than linebackers almost every year now, it's becoming very evident what the philosophy is under Jim Knowles at Ohio State already.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing that scheme change in their recruiting efforts this class, and you're going to see it moving forward. Like I said, they've just brought in so many good linebackers over the last few years with CJ Hicks and Gabe Powers and guys like that, that they're not hurting at all there. So it's not a terrible concern right now for Ohio State, I don't think.
So as you look at this class, and I guess we can just kind of round this episode out. I like to keep these about 20 to 30 minutes. Some of the people want us to play in or out. I don't know if there's enough decisions coming. We kind of did with Jelani Thurman, talking about whether he's in the class or not. Austin Novosad, I'm not sure if I'm ready to say in or out yet. That process just seems like it's not really there, to really be known yet. But do you guys want to play in or out? Do you think we should save it and let the people, have this episode, and then maybe we give it to them the next episode? That's what I'm starting to think. How do you guys feel about it?
I say let the suspense build a little bit here.
Yeah, you know, there we go.
There might be some good news coming the Buckeyes' way this weekend. There might be some bad news coming the Buckeyes' way this weekend. There might not be any news. You know, people can change their minds at any point in time. So, let's just I say hang on.
Andrew?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I mean, I think over the next few weeks we're watching the same guys we've been watching. In addition to the guys we mentioned earlier, it's when does Caleb Downs do his thing? When does Olas Alanin do his thing? Does Ohio State still have a shot with Justice Haynes? There hasn't been a lot that's changed since the last time we did this. It's really still the same big names. Plus now we have the Jelani Thurman decision coming up, and we'll see when Austin Novosad decides to make his final decision.
Couple notes before we get out of here, and then maybe we'll take one question, because I did see one that I really did enjoy. And I think it will be a good topic of discussion before we get out of here. I do believe, based on people I've talked to in the last few days, I do believe Jaden Bonsu, the safety that Ohio State's really high on, along with Caleb Downs, is beginning to trend toward Miami. I think Ohio State's going to have to figure some things out. If that recruitment is going to tilt back in favor of the Buckeyes. I think that's starting to head to South Beach the longer this thing goes. So I did want to get that out to people, because I think that's important information when you're trying to build an entire safety class. That obviously isn't bad news. It's very indifferent, and it's a complete separate circumstance to what is going on with Caleb Downs, because he is just a completely different player and is a do-it-all player, whereas Bonsu's kind of more of a position specific within that defense that Ohio State could use. I don't think it's a huge deal to lose out on him, but I do think that is starting to trend toward Miami. I wanted to get that out there. Does that affect the way that you're viewing this safety class if the Buckeyes aren't able to get Jaden Bonsu, Matt?
I'll follow that up by saying if they can get Caleb Downs, everything's good. If Caleb Downs decides to leave Georgia, the Peach State, if I'm not mistaken, if he leaves Georgia and heads up north to Columbus, I think Ohio State and Perry Eliano have to feel pretty good about how things finish out.
Yeah, it's all about Caleb Downs, honestly. I've almost completely forgotten about Jaden Bonsu at this point, to be honest.
Yeah, Andrew's favorite recruit of all time, I think Caleb Downs is beginning to get in that running. I'm not sure what his top five favorite recruits are, but I would say Downs is among them at this point. I haven't really sprung this on you guys. I'm looking through the Letterman Lounge message board and what we could answer. But I think that one of them really caught my eye. Of course, everybody wants the in or out, and everybody wants, the fun stuff. But somebody asked, and I wish I could give credit, but I'm in the middle of a show and I'm not going to look it up. Somebody asked, based on the 2023 class and the way it's shaking out, your early assessment for the needs in the 2024 class. And I think it's interesting to do that at this point, because there are many holes that Ohio State could fill. But I wanted to make that a note and make that a topic here before we get out of here, just because there are only 10 prospects Ohio State is still truly targeting in the class of 2023. Other than that, the efforts have shifted to 2024, especially a spot like cornerback where you're completely set, and a spot like, you know, the interior offensive line where Justin Fry is not going to take another interior guy because he's looking for tackles in 23, but he can start to evaluate those interior guys in 24. You look at quarterbacks already settled, wide receiver, the top of that board seems to be what it is, and Brian Hartline's going to, you know, go after those top guys. But your early thoughts, start with Andrew. What are the biggest needs based on what you're seeing from the 23 class and maybe what could leave this roster after this season? What are the biggest needs in the 2024 class as of July 12th?
So I think a year ago, if we would have talked about that same situation for the current class, we would have said running back. And that was when we thought that Ohio State was going to get Richard Young and probably another guy. Now they have Mark Fletcher. They're not getting Richard Young. So for me, I think the answer is still is running back for the class of 2024. And if they miss on Justice Haynes, I kind of wonder if maybe they will encourage a guy like Stacy Gage to get into that class of 2024 early on and help Dylan Raiola lead that class. So for me, I'm going to say running back, and I mean, offensive tackle is always on the list too.
You know, I'll echo. I was hoping you'd ask me first, Spencer, because I had running back ready to go, but that's okay. But just to add on to that, you know, if not Stacy Gage is that guy, you know, rising junior Archbishop Cincinnati Moeller running back, Jordan Marshall has a lot of potential to be something real special in his next two seasons here for Moeller. And I think if Ohio State can land a big time in-state prospect, which you got to feel pretty good that the Buckeyes can keep kids in Ohio. I think that could also be another building block for that running back board for 24.
Now, I might sound crazy when I say this, and tell me if I do, but the way that these guys are about to fly into the NFL and just continue to go there, and I think multiple guys will go the next few years. It's really weird to say it, but I actually think wide receiver will be a positional need in the 2024 class, because the guys who are going to leave at the Marvin Harrison Juniors and you talk about this, and by the time those guys sign, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Ibuka and Jane Ballard will have one more year left to play college football. And then after that, it's on the Keon Gray's and the class and then the Brandon Innocent Cardinal Tate class. And you're starting to look at a room that is going to continue to turn these guys over. I really do think that wide receiver will be a need. And I'm gonna go with defensive line as well, because we think of Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloa as such, you know, young guys and Tyleek Williams. And by the time 24 rolls around, I'll say it again, those guys will all be with 1 year left before they can jump ship to the NFL. And I think that's something that Ohio State's going to have to really go after is defensive linemen. I know this 23 class could still be special on the defensive line, but 24, you're going to have to get some of those dudes in there to really solidify that position for, I guess, 2024 to 2027, because the 2021 to 2024 looks like it's in pretty good hands right now. So my two sleeper picks, because you guys kind of took the big positional needs there, I'm going to go wide receiver, because I do think there's some hidden value in what Ohio State needs from this 24 class. I don't know if it could be a big class, but I think you need at least two that are special. And then that defensive line class, because you just need, you know, to keep that factory going, especially as, you know, Larry Johnson's not getting any younger. I'm not telling any secrets there. You know, you've got to be able to continue to recruit at a high level, even knowing that any year could be his last year. So those are my two big ones. Did we miss any positions? I think maybe defensive back, just because I do think there's some NFL potential for some guys to leave pretty early next couple years, especially at safety. And then, you know, Dylan Raiola, you wonder if they want to take a second quarterback. Do you see any of that kind of stuff happening at defensive back or quarterback or wide receiver? What are your guys' thoughts, Andrew?
Quarterback for 2024.
Maybe a second one. I don't know if you don't get one in 23, yeah, and you need a body. I would say maybe a second quarterback. I mean, that's just trying. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they will. I don't know. Maybe that's something that'll happen. But defensive backfield, I mean, they're going to have possibly as many as 8 guys in this class, the 23 class, for the safety and corner spots. So I don't want to say that position group is going to be on the back burner for 24, but it's not going to quite be as pressing as it is right now, in my opinion.
And maybe you could just go target maybe the top 2 guys at each position and then just try to, you know, get the superstars in that class rather than go out and try to get a bunch of guys. Matt, your thoughts?
Well, that's exactly where my thought process was going. I think when you have, you know, such a body of work to put in, it would be not easy. I don't want to say that, but I think that might be kind of the early going strategy for Ohio State, is to just, you know, 1 through 20. You know, let's just worry about 1 through 20 because we have a lot that's right here right now. And of course you're always thinking about the future, but you know, 1 through 20, and then can put the work in as needed after 1 through 20.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's probably a good place to end this as we start to peek ahead a little bit to 2024. Well, actually I'll spring one more question on you guys. We're at 31 minutes. If you have one prospect in the 24 class, since we're on it, that you're keeping an eye on, one prospect, who is it?
I got mine. I'll go. Jeremiah Smith is mine. I think he could be the next. I mean, I feel like he's been on commitment watch for basically 3 months now, and probably he might be the best wide receiver in the country, regardless of class. So that's the easy one for me.
This kind of goes against what we were talking about with defensive backs to an extent, but I'm going to say Peyton Woodyard from Bellflower, California. That's a guy who is just going to keep getting better and better these next 2 seasons of high school ball, and I think that's another – he has the potential to be a dude for Ohio State.
All right. That's where we're going to end it, and I'm not going to give you one. So – it was a great show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review, and we will be back soon on another edition of Letterman Lounge.